Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Podcast Manager Show. We are talking about how to avoid scope creep with your podcast clients. I'm going to be covering five things that you can do to avoid scope creep and how to handle scope creep, because it's probably inevitable to happen, but if you can handle it professionally and in good taste, then it's an easy thing to handle with your clients. First things first, if you don't know what scope creep is whenever your client will add tasks to your package without paying you for them. So the scope of the project starts to grow without your price changing or without you guys signing a new contract, or they'll just kind of ask you, hey, can you start doing this? And you'll just say yes, and you'll just start doing it without adjusting anything. That is scope creep. And it's really common, especially in a good relationship, because the client just wants you to do more. They're like, oh, she or he is killing it. Hey, can you start doing this? Can we change our social media strategy so that we're doing 3 graphics instead of 4? And they're talking to you about how they want to change things. And there's certain things that you can do within your scope, but there are certain things that you're like, this is clearly out of the scope. I need to charge more for this, but I don't know how to handle it. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, is how to handle it when it happens, because you want your client to be asking you to do more, of course, but you need to be able to handle it so that you're getting paid for that time and you don't start feeling resentful. I'll be honest from the beginning that this is not something that I am naturally good at. I have my own people-pleasing tendencies. So if a client asks me to do something, I always want to say yes. I always want to be the right person for the job. But what I've learned over the last couple of years is that I'm not always the right person for the job. And if I am the right person for the job, if I say yes and immediately address the fact that it's going to increase our price, then I can avoid all of the icky situations that I've gotten myself into where I'm doing too much for a certain price, or I'm doing things that I don't actually enjoy doing. So let me give you an example of this. This is one of the biggest mistakes that I've made with a client. She was one of my very first clients. I think she was maybe like my third client. And she hired me to do her editing and to upload and publish. I wasn't even writing the description. She would give me the title, I would edit the episode, and someone else on her team would write the description and I would schedule it. Well, we were working together at a really low rate because, like I said, she was one of my very first clients. And I really liked her podcast. And so there was a level of like, oh, I really like that I'm working on this podcast. So I didn't really mind that I was working for a lower rate. And I'm sure if you're starting out, you can kind of feel that tension of like, okay, I'm fine with this. Well, I worked with her for, I think, maybe 9 months before I raised my rates on her, which, goodness, this is a whole different podcast episode, but I waited entirely too long to raise my rates on her. One being that her and I never spoke. Like, our relationship was so seamless that we rarely spoke. So like, by the time I got the guts to like talk to her about raising my rates, it had been a long time. But needless to say, I raised my rates on her knowing that, you know what, this might not work out. She might not see the value in this because she's been working with me at such a low rate. And as I said in previous episodes, those first clients that you work with at a lower rate, they just might not be with you on for the long term because they want you for that original price and they don't want to pay that much more. So anyway, I was prepared to say goodbye knowing that she might not be interested in working with me at, you know, double the rate. So I introduced my new pricing to her and she said, well, actually, I'm so glad you brought this up because another person on her team was leaving her team. And that was the person that was writing the description and was doing some other miscellaneous tasks for the podcast. So she said, can we get on a call and talk about how you could take over these other tasks and stay on as you know, more of my podcast manager versus my podcast editor. And I was like, oh, of course, because I really liked her. I really liked working with her. I liked her podcast and I liked working with her because she was very low key on the communication. Like she wasn't messaging me all the time. So I knew like this is a pretty easy gig. So I got on a call with her and it was great vibes all around. And we were just talking about like the future of her business and what I was trying to do, because this was the period where I was really going from podcast manager and I was trying to position myself more as a strategist. And she really liked that. She said, I'm going to send you all of the things that I'm looking for. And then if you can give me a price, then let's go from there. And I said, excellent. So I gave her my price and she said, I believe it was like maybe $1,200. So she said, you know what? I really only have $900 set aside for the podcast. And I said, okay, well, I can't do all of this for $900. Because I had already told her it was $1,200, right? Like I couldn't just say, okay. I knew that. I couldn't just say, okay. So I said, I can do these things for $900. So I took out some of the bigger tasks or the things that I didn't want to do or the things that made sense for someone else to do. And I said, this is the package I can do for $900. And she said, okay, great. Let's go with it. Well, moving forward, she always thought that I was doing all of the tasks instead of just the things that I said that I could do. So she was always trying to scope creep on me. And she actually thought that I wasn't doing my job, but I kept having to remind her, hey, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I am doing these things because we agreed on a lower rate. Anyway, I should have said no from the beginning. I should have said, you know what? I feel like there's someone else out there that would work really well with this. Because by this point, I had a ton of experience. I had already had this course up and running that I thought, there's so many women and men that I've trained that would love this job, and it's just for someone else. So her and I ended up parting ways because I was actually feeling resentful that I was constantly being asked to do more when I specifically had said no. So that was the ultimate scope creep. And what I know looking back now, what I should have done was have just kind of ended things, knowing that it's hard for clients to, you know, transition with you over the course of years, or, you know, that was like 9 months. So it wasn't even a year, but just over the course of your development, you learned so much from working with clients just even for 6 months. So it's just hard for them sometimes to transition with you. So that is my example of whenever I've messed up scope creep. So this is not something that I naturally excel at. And most of you listening are women, and we're specifically met women are taught to over deliver and to ask for less. I actually just heard about this FreshBooks study. FreshBooks is in bookkeeping software, and they just did a study on how women freelancers are asking for 28% less money than their male counterparts. So this isn't like the wage gap in corporate America. This is the wage gap for small female-owned businesses. We are asking for less money than our male counterparts. And that is just ingrained in us that we are to over-deliver, that we are to constantly prove our worth. Whereas this is generalizing, you know, both genders, but men don't always feel that compulsion to constantly over-deliver, aka scope creep, and constantly ask for less money. So I'm going to link that FreshBooks study to the show notes for this episode so that you can go look at it. If you're a data numbers person, you have to go look at the study because it talks more about this wage gap, but also a lot of other really interesting things specific to the freelance space. So let's dive into how you can handle scope creep. I've got 5 points for you today. So the first thing is that you want to make sure that your contract has the exact tasks that you're responsible for so that it's clear between you and your client. That example I gave you, she was never clear for some reason. She always kept forgetting. But because I had it in our contract, I could keep being clear on, yes, this is exactly what we agreed on. And so that it was really crystal clear between her and I. But now that I have a podcast manager, I actually forget what she's doing and what I'm doing, which is silly of me. So it's not always the fact that like your client doesn't care and that your client wants to get free work out of you. It's just that they might just forget. So it's really an easy thing to do to make sure that it's clear in your contract. And that also leads into the second point, that you shouldn't assume that your client doesn't want to pay you for something. So if they say, hey, instead of doing one social media graphic, can we start doing this series of graphics for stories and doing a couple more audiograms? And you just feel like you have to then say, yeah, sure, even though you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a lot more work or whatever. Or another example from my world is that a client asked me, instead of doing the short summary style show notes, can we start doing the long blog style show notes? And I said, yes, I'm happy to do that. I'll do that this week for you. And if you like the way that it turns out, then we can talk about changing our package and the rate to reflect that. So I gave her a heads up. From the very beginning of this conversation, I told her, hey, you know, this is going to change our price, but I'll do it this week, see if you like it, because I'm always willing to work with my clients, but I also have to manage the scope creep. So don't assume that they don't want to pay you. They are probably happy to pay you for the extra work. Sometimes you're even taking stuff off of their social media manager's plate. And so they're like, yeah, I'm just moving money around. I'm not trying to like pay people less. I'm just organizing tasks so that it makes sense for the team. My third tip is to have your response ready. Like my example I just gave, when a client asks you to start doing more of whatever, say, if you aren't sure if you know how to do it or you don't know if you want to do it, then you can say, oh, I love this idea. Let me give it a thought and I'll get back to you on what the price would be. So I've said that before. Or I've said, let me consider this and I'll send you a proposal. Because when you say, I'll send you a proposal, then they know, oh, this is like more work. This is going to be an additional price. Like if a client starts asking you, hey, can you start pitching me to be on other shows? Okay, that's a completely different thing than what you're currently doing. So of course you're going to send them a proposal. You're going to show them what it's going to be like to work with you in that capacity. So I always just kind of keep that example in my mind when a client asks me to do more, is that they need to see what this is going to look like and what the price is going to be. So have that response ready to say, yes, I can do that. Ask for maybe any clarification on that project that you need, and then say, that would raise our package price to, you know, $1,295. Are you comfortable with that? Or you can say, I'll send you a proposal. Let me think about this and I'll send you what the price increase would be. But if you know the price right off your head or you're ready with that number, you can just give them the number then. Don't make it uncomfortable when it doesn't need to be, you know? So you could say, hey, yep, that's going to be $12.95. Are you comfortable with that? And they're like, yep, that sounds good. Or maybe they'll say, actually, let me give that a thought. I'll get back to you. And then, okay, great. The next thing, I'm just flowing right into these next steps. The next thing I wanted to say, this fourth thing was, don't be personally offended if they decide not to do it. Because maybe what they realize is, oh, this would be a lot of work. And you know what? It's not really worth it for me to pay for it. So like the show note example that I gave, if my client were to said, hey, can we start doing a long blog style format for our show notes instead of like the summary version? And I were to say, okay, yes, that would raise our package to $12.95. Are you comfortable with that? And that she were to say, oh, I didn't think about that. Let me give it a thought. Then I might say, okay, great. And give her the reason as to maybe why she should do one over the other. So then for the show note example, you could say, the blog version is really great if we're trying to increase your SEO, or if we think we can pull in different people with the blog post. But the summary is also really great because then people can easily find what they're looking for, and it's more of a resource for the podcast listeners rather than a standalone blog. So then you can kind of just give them some valuable information about the decision that they're going to make, and they can see, oh, okay, you know what? I like the idea of the blog for those benefits, so I will pay for it. Or they'll think, you know what? Never mind. I was just kind of throwing around ideas. Let's stick with the summary. So if they say never mind, then don't be personally offended. Okay, my last point for you is take all of these points that I've mentioned in consideration, but don't nickel and dime your clients. This is my personal opinion, and maybe you won't agree with it, but there's a certain level of all included, like an all-inclusive feel to my packages. I believe that it's really beneficial and it builds trust with a client if it's like my podcast manager just like handles it all. She just handles it, you know? So if your client is asking to make changes to the podcast. And that's really typical, right? Like, you know, changing up graphics or changing up certain things about the actual episode. You know, maybe they want to add in ads. So if I have a client who I'm working for at a big retainer rate, and I'm doing everything for them, and they say, hey, I want to start trying out ads. Can you start adding these ads into the middle of an episode? I'm just going to do that. You know, that is going to take me more time, but I'm not going to say, okay, yeah, that's going to be what, like $20 more an episode? Like, it's just, to me, there's a certain level of like, I'm not going to nickel and dime you for every little thing. But also, I encourage you to set your rates so that you feel really comfortable in that package. You feel like your work is really valued at. So if they want to add something that's small, in my opinion, you feel like, oh yeah, I definitely have the space for that. You know, like my price is high enough that I don't feel resentful. Whereas if you're working for someone for $900 when you should be working with them for $1,500, they try to add one more thing on, you're going to kind of flip out in your head. Like, wait a second, I'm already doing way too much at this price. And if that would be your case, like maybe you were just about to raise your rate on a client and they ask you to do more, you could then say, yes, my rates are actually going up at the first of next month or the first of, you know, November or whatever. If we were to add on that piece, so you just bring up the fact that your prices are going up right then and there so that you can have that conversation without just taking on more and more work and just postponing raising your rates and feeling resentful. So I think that there's definitely a balancing act of making sure that there's not scope creep happening, but also not nickel and diming your clients. And I think that what that comes down to is feeling really good about your prices. So in the beginning, when you're first landing clients, you know, you're going to be kind of in the mindset maybe of, I just want to land clients. Like, I just want to get some experience under my belt. So these are the prices that I feel comfortable with. But then as you gain experience and as your confidence grows, you'll see, oh, you know, I feel really comfortable with these packages at $1,000, $1,500. And I really see the value now in my work. So I'm going to set my prices at a great rate for me and my clients. And I just feel like that gives me the freedom to really serve clients in a great way because I feel taken care of. And so I can take care of them in a really awesome way. And I don't feel like the scope creep is as big of a problem because I feel really happy to be on their team and willing to make adjustments here and there. Now, there's some other factors that come into this. I think whenever you're working with a client that's like constantly changing things at the last minute, or they're getting everything to you the last minute and then they want things changed, like that is just not a great work environment. So you have to put up some more boundaries around that client in general. And so I feel like when scope creep is happening, you're like, oh, this client is already like always pushing my buttons. So whenever they scope creep, I'm like annoyed about it from the very beginning. Whereas other clients that are really low key and don't ever ask for changes, they love everything, they aren't micromanaging, when they scope creep a bit, it's kind of rolls off your shoulders. Let me know if you agree with that. One of the ways to set those boundaries for just a great, healthy relationship with a client, but also for scope creep, is by having a really solid welcome packet for your clients whenever you first onboard. And that's something that I'm actually perfecting right now for the Podcast Manager Program students. So if you are a student, watch for that because it's going to be added to the course in the next couple of weeks. All right, if you are new to this idea of becoming a podcast manager, maybe you're a virtual assistant right now that is doing some podcast management tasks and you're considering making the pivot into podcast management, or you're just wanting some more information about what else you can offer these clients, go grab your seat at my masterclass. It is a free 50-minute masterclass that's going to teach you how to become a profitable podcast manager without working more than 20 hours a week. You can grab your seat for that at laurenwrighton.com/masterclass. And that link will be in the show notes. All right, that is all I have for you today on Scope Creep. I would love to know what you guys are thinking and what questions you have from here about Scope Creep or about anything that we've talked about today. So find me over on Instagram. I'm at Lauren Wrighton, and send me a DM and let me know what questions you have and what you're thinking about Scope Creep. Thanks so much for being here today, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.